Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamond, and you're very welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League, where the season has finally come to an end. All the trophies have been won, medals handed out, and the dust is just beginning to settle on all of those completed league tables. Therefore, it's time to continue what is becoming an annual tradition on this pod and properly review the season that was. We're going to be marking each team's report card, reflect on the good and the bad, plus we'll also address all of those bold predictions made by myself and others just a mere 9 months ago. There's also an Irish Cup final, European playoffs, and a promotion relegation playoff to squeeze in on this, your latest weekly edition of Kicking Match. Here we are, the final whistles across all of the top flight, the middle flight championship, PIL flight. It's done. The men's season is over. There's no silly games to be done now. All we've got to have to look forward to is players in new shirts shaking hands with managers awkwardly. But with the season now over, it's a good time to look back at it all. And to do that, I've got a wonderful collection, a round table digitally. And first up there, he was here from the very start of the season. It's great to welcome back Mark McGuigan.
Hello.
Delighted. Would have been even more delighted if the weekend went differently, but he's delighted to be back. I feel like recently I've been inviting onto the pod after not so fun weekends, and I feel like this is probably one of them now.
Yeah, just stick with the theme of me being sad on this podcast. It's okay. It's fine.
And unfortunately, we couldn't get Connor Houston back in to review all his thoughts, but to laugh at our suggestions from the start of the season, it's media man Dave Watt.
How are we?
We're good. So, we did this last year with Michael Clark, and now we're going to do it with myself and Mark. And pretty much, we're going to go back and we're going to share some of the thoughts and feelings we had at the start of the season, see what we got right, highlight all the things that we got wrong, and maybe we can all learn something together and learn that Irish League football is incredibly hard to predict. We are running back the biggest episode in this podcast history to date, so it should be fun. But before we do that, we have to talk about the new things that in fact have happened since the last time we were talking. Number one, the hoodoo is over, Mark. I don't know if you saw it. Cliftonville are finally Irish Cup champions. We do not have to hear about this years and decade long streak that they hadn't done it. They did it. They did it in style. One, at least for me, one of the most iconic Irish Cup finals ever. Some huge moments in there. And Dave, it may have not been a game that had a whole lot of great chances. It wasn't a particularly free-flowing game, but it went the distance. It went all 120 minutes, all bar penalties. And in the end, it all wrapped up with one of the best players in the league, Ronan Hale, running arms out wide. That will be a very memorable Irish League moment for decades to come. Worth the wait, some people would say.
Yeah, especially if you're a North Belfast Red. It was, I thought it was very fairly or evenly matched first half, and I'm not sure Linfield came back out of the second half, really. Don't know whether you'd agree with that, Mark.
Unfortunately, I'd have to, yeah. I think anybody who watches matches knows that that was a game of two halves, and, well, extra time included. But I think from the outset of the second half, it was quite obviously the team in form was, and unfortunately for me and all other Linfield fans, it was Cliftonville. Duly, the better team won, 100%. I can't even argue with that. I take my blue tinted glasses off, and I have to say that it was the best team on Saturday. As sickening as it is,
I thought Cliftonville looked totally overawed in the first half an hour. They were tetchy, they were fouling all over the place, they couldn't get any sort of coherent football going. It was all these scattergun kind of breakaways. It was almost like that Linfield versus Portadown final in the League Cup, where you just had this far superior team in Linfield who looked like they'd been there, done that before, and that they were the grown-ups in the room, and they were ready just to get on efficiently with their business. And they got a bit of luck for their opening goal, a foul on Fitzpatrick, which was definitely not a foul, even though there was fouls all going over the place. And it's Ethan McGee, a real bright spark of this season, beats Kearney in the box, one-on-one. That's the type of stuff you need to do in big finals like this. And from there, Linfield controlled that entire half. And for Cliftonville, they needed a big reaction in the second half, and they did it early, and it's from a beautiful bit of work and skill from Rory Hill to find Ashford in the box. Big call to play Ashford from the start, but he came up trumps, got the goal, and from there, Linfield never were really able to assert their dominance on that game again.
I think you're totally right in what you're saying. Second half, as I've already said, it looked like there was really one team that was going to walk away with that lovely Irish Cup trophy. I think even the sort of strongest blue man I know would have to say that Linfield just didn't come out second half. There's no real argument about it, and I don't think anybody in the whole Irish League scene can disagree that Cliftonville's second half performance was one of the best we've seen in a cup final for a number of years.
Like I've seen Ashford play a few times this season, and he just the way he glides about the pitch and he picks up space. You know, he might not be in the game much, and then all of a sudden he'll find himself. Like he changed the game in the second half just by the space he picked up and that sort of thing. And he did again that just ghosted into the box on Saturday and got out on the end of the cross, and all of a sudden that's the game turned on its head.
They really needed that because they had lost Odomossu early on in the first half. They had to change a keeper, not ideal. Then at the pretty much just before the halftime whistle blew, lost Casey to what looks like a pretty significant injury actually. So that's not really a great tone setter going into that half. But Little and Magilton sat the players down and they got a reaction, changed things up a bit, and got that goal, and that put the wind up Linfield. And time and time again, I feel like a broken record. We've talked about Mark here how Linfield have not been able to finish games. They look to tire as the games go on. And this was just another example of this. As we approached the end of the second half, I thought the Reds looked a bit nervous and weren't quite sure or really backed themselves to go up. They didn't want to lose the final in the last 20 minutes. And for Linfield, they just didn't have the gusto to really attack the game in the final 20 minutes. Like from 70 minutes on, it looked as though this is going to extra time. And it did. And then I felt I put a wee tweet out, wee video saying pretty much if Linfield are to win this game, it's going to be on penalties. And if it's going to be won in extra time, it will be Cliftonville's trophy. And a lot quicker than they did off the back of the second half, like a minute, 90 seconds into extra time, the Linfield back line gave Ronan Hill a bit of space, stepped off him a wee touch. He's able to go onto his right foot and let rip. An amazing goal in the cup final, just to let rip and go for it there. And all of a sudden then Linfield had to come on and try and attack the game. And when you're looking to the bench, the only real experience that they had on there was Matthew Clark, Jordan Stewart. Yes, you had the likes of Annette and Archer and others, but there just wasn't the same type of players that Cliftonville were able to throw on. And like Gormley didn't get on, but had Gormley wanted to put on there. Yeah, Ben Wilson. They were able to change it up. And I thought as the game went on, they looked tired. And the key players that was able to really throttle Cliftonville in the early parts of the first half just had run out of gas.
Yeah, totally agree. If you were looking at that match as a neutral and you'd ask somebody to say, you know, who's the professional team here that's training 4 or 5 times a week and who's the sort of part-time side? I know Cliftonville aren't totally part-time, but it's just so obvious who the fitter side was. Cliftonville's fitness shone through. It's been a long season for both teams, I have to say. I just think we looked so tired. Even sort of dredging into that 70-minute mark, it looked like the players were out on their feet, and I totally agree with you. I was sitting in the stand thinking, like the only way we're winning this is on penalties. There was no threat. I don't think that. I just don't think we challenged them enough. I really don't. Sat off them too much, showed them too much respect, and when they had their chances, they took them, and we just didn't. You know?
Let's give a bit of shine then to Cliftonville. I thought they reacted very well. There was a lot of talk going into this final that they had the chance to be the more fresher and are able to sit back as Linfield had to go through all these tough games with a chance of maybe still winning the league. Like you look at that, and one of the scenes that I will remember outside of Hill is just that big wily smile on Magilton. This game somewhat flips the perception of this season for both sides. And you got to give them credit. Cliftonville reacted. They stepped up. They were more braver. They had the better squad on the day. And Magilton, like, he misses out in the league, doesn't get it done in any of the cups. But that'll all be forgotten about. This will be known as one of the great Cliftonville seasons because they ended on such a high here. Like, I know what's been said till the cows come home right now over the past few days, but they have vindication from Chilton because 9, 10 months ago, he was not the favorite choice, it's fair to say.
He wasn't, but I do personally think he was very hard done by in that respect, because you look at what he did, wherever he's been, he has been well respected, and going into a job like Cliftonville, it's not easy, and you need to have a big personality, and I don't think there's much of a bigger personality than Jim Mazzilton, and he was, he had the balls to go and do it.
They've got a reputation, I think rightfully this season, Cliftonville, for being flat track bullies, and they were able to take care of a lot of the bottom six, but this year in the league they did not do it in the big games against Linfield, against Larne. But you'd probably say in the most important of those big games against Linfield and Larne, they've done them. They've done them both at Windsor Park in the semi-final and in the final. And what a high this club now has going in to the summer. It just meant so much to them. It was the history, it was this collection of players, it was the story of Magilton, and we don't know what's really going to happen this summer with the likes of Ronan Hill, maybe some of the older stalwarts. It was Chris Curran's last game, Gormley's going to be a year older, with Ben Wilson stick around. Elsewhere there's talk about other players coming in, so there's clearly going to be change there. But in this moment of time, they'll use this as a bit of confidence to move forward, because they've got Europe now, and that was already guaranteed before the final. But that little bit of extra cash, Magilton has that kudos to kind of walk 10 foot around North Belfast and around there. He has all this kudos, and perhaps this is a monkey off the back. But you can see now that they could really take this. If they kick on next season and have a great start to the league campaign, that they'll point to this day. So, saying, what a game, what a turnaround, and what a moment of heel running free, arms out as a bird. An amazing moment in Irish League football. We now have to turn to Linfield, because when we were chatting to Ross last week, he pretty much said that this season would be seen as a bad season, a poor season, if all they had was second place and a League Cup. Do you agree with that, Mark? And has this put a massive dampener now on the season as a whole?
I wouldn't even say it's put a damper on it. I've sort of resigned myself to the fact that this season was a failure just before. I'd actually say before the split, because I knew going into the split that it wasn't going to be good. We had to rely on, Larne did drop points in the split, and we still couldn't capitalise. I just could never see the light at the end of the tunnel this season. It just seemed to be an absolute nightmare. At spells we looked okay. There was no time in the season, maybe bar that 1 minute solitude, that I thought, flip, we might actually go on and do this. We didn't actually beat Larne in the league all season. We didn't win a game that didn't require a last minute goal in the split. So there's where you're not going to win a league title. That was fine. That was done and dusted. The points that we dropped from scoring first, we dropped 16 points after scoring first in the league this season. That's relegation form. That's not championship form. So just really, really tough to take all through. But listen, I'd say it's probably been a failure for 2 years.
Well, we'll be hearing about what our thoughts were about all of the teams, including Linfield, later on in the podcast. And recruitment was pretty high on the list of things that the concern was about, it's fair to say.
I wouldn't say total failure in recruitment. I think you look at our January window, Ethan McGee signing for Linfield was a massive one. I think he was maybe one of the only ones that came in and improved our squad this season. Head and shoulders above a lot of players in the league. He's certainly, for me, one of the top sort of four or five performers this season for me in the league. A spell at Dungannon, obviously, first 6 months. From January on, he's been very, very good at Linfield. I just think the lack of maybe a striker has really annoyed Linfield fans. Growing up, I can remember going to the games and you had Peter Thompson and Glenn Ferguson in the one team. Then you had Paul Munster. You'd then Andy Waterworth. You were always blessed with at least a 20 goal a season striker. Fitzpatrick's come along and has maybe only scored 10 or 11, I believe, across all comps. Yes, it's good, but it's not enough for a Linfield striker, to be totally honest.
Well, congratulations, Cliftonville. Like I said, I'm just really delighted we don't have to talk about that whatever it was, 45 years or hurt and all the rest. Great game there. A lot of other things have been decided in the past 7 days. One of them being the fourth team that is going to be playing in Europe from the Irish League. And it's the Crews. They went out first against Carrick, and then they play Coleraine, who put an end to Glentoran's unfortunate sorry season at the Oval. They're not able to pull it back there on Monday against the Crews. Crews went out, and you know what? It's 2-2, and I was watching it, and I really, it's one of those moments, famous moment for me, where I talk about a tweet that I didn't send. I just thought, you know what, Jordan Owens is coming on and he's going to finish this game off. And that's exactly what he did. You know, Crews' season since January has been patchy. And I think since January, you'd probably say that Corian's season has been a nice bit of ascension. In the end, I think they met in the middle here in this game. But the Crews just had that extra bit of confidence, quality. And it's great when you have a wily veteran like Jordan Owens to come on when you need a goal in a pinch. Amazing goal from Josh Carson. It was one of those that it was a goal that could have won any game, deserved won any game. It was drew them level 2-2. I think this makes the league more interesting going into next year with Linfield coming back. We'll have to see what Glentoran are going to be at. Lauren will clearly try and reset again. Cliftonville, investment from Europe. Crews now get their investment from Europe, and Coleraine, what's going to happen now with their new owners? It's like everybody in the top six might have a bit of cash to throw about. The real losers there is probably anybody that isn't them, but it's a nice way for Paul Heatley, maybe, if that was his last game, Baxter, to kind of go out on high. A lot of people in football have been talking about this end to the Klopp era that isn't particularly Hollywood. It's quite a nice for Baxter and all the whatever it was, however many hundreds of games he's a manager, he's able to go, there's Europe, all the best.
Yeah, it certainly feels like there's a wee bit of a change of the guard almost in Irish League terms, with a feeling of the next era of Irish League football and what it looks like, you know, sort of the semi-professional with the money coming in. Although I'm not really sure at Corian if you'll see a big difference right now, because I don't think what's been mooted as the investment is a massive amount of money.
It sets it up, though, and we've talked coming in to the end of this season about how perhaps if the Crews don't get Europe, will they fall away, and could we see maybe a more solid top two, top three that doesn't really get broken away? So getting Europe for both North Belfast sides kind of keeps them in the dance, ticking over, and it's not exactly the same type of equality with the likes of Lorne, Glentoran perhaps, and Linfield, but it keeps them somewhat at the dance. So that's huge for the Crews going in to next year. Other things that was decided, watch both games. Gotta give credit to Joe McCallion from the pod last week. He predicted it score by score for both games. Ballymena is able to see off Institute. We will not see Institute in the top flight next year. By the skin of their teeth, Ballymena were able to hold on to their top flight status. And it was interesting seeing it across both games. Not particularly flashy games, as you can imagine, in that scenario where both teams are hanging on pretty much. The nerves must have been through the roof. And I thought that Institute starred in the first game, did everything. What a brilliant performance from Harris. That was a real introduction, I'm sure, to a lot of people, to him. Leopard as well, being really solid. And, you know, I think as much as Ballymena showed a bit more energy in the second game, I think it was even enough. And, you know, Institute down the 10 men still could have almost poked that ball into the goal in the final few minutes. So it's heartbreaking for Institute, because I think they must have felt confident after that first game. But it's two legs for a reason, and at home, I think a bit more of the experience, I'd say, from Ballymena saw them over the line.
Yeah, I watched both games, and I have to say, I think Institute were pretty unlucky. The goal that was obviously scored at the Brandywell was worthy to win any game, but as we've just said, you know, two-legged tie. You know, it's nice actually seeing a Lafferty putting a performance in there, actually. We'll get that in there somewhere.
And scoring.
But I still haven't forgiven him for that. Anyway, but yeah, just I'm not sure Is it the inexperience at the back for Institute? Don't know. The red card seems to sort of be the final nail in the coffin for them. You know, Balmain were really, really putting them under pressure, and just a silly, silly red card. It's a second yellow. It's always a second yellow, no matter what age of football it is, no matter what the situation is. Second yellow, cert. I'm not sure about the free kick before the goal. No, free kick, excellent. Not sure it was a free kick from Keith Kennedy. It is what it is. It was as tight a game as I've ever seen in that sort of relegation playoff.
Yeah, l lessons have to be learned there, really, Dave. And it's not easy because you just can't magic the type of players that can get you out of this situation. But if that doesn't scare Ballymena for a different type of tact, or at least trying to maybe build a team together, because I think it took all season for Jim Irvine to try and find something that looked like a competent, coherent 11, and he got it right at the very end. But I don't think you can run back this team next year and expect anything but perhaps even you don't even get the chance to kind of fight for your survival. You know, they've got a big summer and probably another year of more pain than joy, probably.
Yeah, like you're saying there, it did take Jim quite a long time. I mean, it's never going to be easy when it's your first job in management, or it made it even harder by the fact that he got the job so late in the day as well.
And he didn't have a great team. That, you
No.
know, we talked all about the situation at the end of 2023, the start of that season for Ballymena. Like it was a torrid team that he had to try and fix. And with that, he did the best that he could.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I always remember Ballymena teams, since I can remember watching Irish League football, always being very combative and very difficult to play against. I felt at times watching Ballymena they were very soft in places.
Well, so sometimes you don't know if a recipe works until you try it a few times and see if the spice mix is exactly what you're after. But they're still in the big time next year. We know what our 12 is. Newry's out, Portadown's in. We've got everything set up. I guess now we should look back and talk about the season that was. Right, Dave, you got the slightly fun task to just point out that you thought you were wrong to begin with and that everything we predicted was stupid and all the rest. But we will go through this based on the league rankings. We did this about a week or two before the season started. So we'll start with our eventual champions, Larne, two-time winners. This is what we thought their chances was all the way back in August. Brilliant team, really strong team. They are gonna smash a lot of this league. They've got great players. But I wonder, we all know how they play. We all know with the wide wing backs. And I wonder, could people start doing their homework, catch Larne out, and they could just be caught?
I have no doubt that Larne are going to win this league this year.
No doubt at
I don't
all.
think so. I think they're too good. I think that defence that was so rock solid has been fortified even more.
Absolutely nailed it, Mark. I said third, I was incorrect. No doubt. Straight from the horse's mouth.
No, never in doubt, was it? Never in doubt. When the
And
team
you
is,
call out that defense as well?
yeah, well, I was sort of was having a few worries in that first day of the season when Dungannon went up and scored three or four, whatever it was, up at Inver. But
That still ended up being like a fifth of all their goals the entire season.
yeah, that was most of their goals were conceded on that opening Monday night. I was still podcasting at that stage. That's strange. I'm right about one thing. Listen, a broken clock is right twice a day, Peter.
I obviously can hear there. I thought perhaps they might not have the same fight. I know they would go for the league, but sometimes you can get a bit too overconfident, a bit too comfortable. And I think we saw a touch of that earlier on in the season. But like they kept a majority of this team. Sule wasn't the same loss that I thought perhaps it was going to be. Bonus and Ryan were kind of out for parts of the year, but they were still able to find goals from elsewhere. Didn't have the same kind of season from Miller, perhaps, but then that was obviously a player of the year type season from him. Ives, great signing. Rock solid at the back. Scored lots of goals. Didn't let any in. Should we have doubted them at all, Dave?
Personally, if it had been me on the podcast, I would have agreed with Mark, because I thought that Larne were that good the season before. And it wasn't necessarily, they didn't seem stretched. And that was, I think that was probably an important thing. Sometimes teams go and win the league and they've given absolutely everything to win the league, which means going into the next season, they're maybe starting off in a bit of a, can we actually repeat this? Whereas I thought Lauren, yes, they maybe are a wee bit shaky, but the confidence that they had in some of the games they played and they the way they played it was, for me, inevitable they were going to win that league because, again, like we said earlier, Linfield's lacking a striker. Fitzy is a good player, but again, we'll talk about that later. But he's not the answer when you're looking for 20 odd goals a season. And Lauren have two of those players who comfortably could be in that bracket in Bonus and Ryan, like you said. That some of their movement. My dad always told me when I was trying to play football, if there's somebody making a run, it makes your job so much easier because it makes your mind up. Some of the times, Lauren team didn't even have to think about where to pass the ball. They just kicked it into an area, knowing Bonus and Ryan were going to make those runs. And then the third man runs from the likes of Miller in midfield into the box.
Massively.
They overwhelmed teams.
But they added, like, there was question marks for some people of why are you dropping whatever it was 65k on another left back? Have you not got this young player Michal Glinn that's just this attacking dynamo? And in the end he was my player of the year. They bring in Gallagher, which was a great player to have in the centre midfield in January. They saw that was an area that perhaps they didn't fill.
I think that was a very key signing for them because, as you say, they didn't maybe replace Sule when they let him go and or when he chose to go at the Glentoran. But Craigie Gallagher is a great player, one of the best I've seen in that defensive position in the Irish League in a very long time. Very typically solid, but also actually quite creative when he needs to be. So definitely a great signing for them.
A lot of teams will look at Lauren and go, can some of these boys go now? Can someone say Andy Ryan come and play for us? Can somebody say take Lee Bonus off their hands, as it was much talked about? They do lose Cuffy Bamer to Crystal Palace. Farquhar moves on as well. So they've had a few players move on, and I wonder now that they've done it twice, what will that maybe help give teams in Scotland or England a bit more confidence that this is a team that they should be picking players off? And again, the most impressive thing about this year compared to the year before is that they went on a run. It was their defensive stability. It was just how many goals they were banging in. They were just electric in every single position. And now I think you can see this team really continue to grow and develop and maybe just have to do slight little alterations here or there, but create this great backbone. And I think there's no doubting that they are the favourites going into next year already, probably by a decent click. They've got the best squad. They have got a winning mentality. They're a semi-final loss to Cliftonville away from maybe doing the double. We talked about a few weeks ago, the big thing for them is not just about the league, although it's obviously a key component of what they'll do next season. They need to keep this run going and they need to do something in Europe, because I think if they end up not going close, if just kind of whimpering out of Europe, that will just kind of drag everything down. I will just feel like they're the boulder that they rolled up the hill is just falling all the way down again. I know that's a cyclical nature of football anyway, but once you win this league twice and once you do it in the style and the points total and the goals conceded and scored and all the rest they did, they've got to put on their big boy shorts. They've got to go to big boy school at some point and they should be in a good position. Yes, they don't have the seeding that perhaps other teams in the league that could maybe sneak because of their experience in Europe. They kind of got to check this off now and do something big, I think.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that's kind of the next sort of frontier for the Irish League in general. Are Larne going to be the team to do that? They certainly are starting to shout about that as what needs to happen. I think with the advent of the Europa Conference League and all the different seedings and all that sort of thing, it makes it maybe easier for them than it would have been previously for the league winners to get that into some sort of European competition. I still think, unfortunately, even the best players in the Irish League are still probably bottom half of the championship at best, really. So would you say that a bottom half championship team could qualify for Europe from the championship if they were in the Premier League? Probably not. But having said that, I think that's something that Lauren will push towards. As an Irish League fan, I would love it if they did it. I just think it's a little bit far off for an Irish League club to get further than maybe a couple of qualifying rounds in.
Well, we'll let them celebrate. At least you can celebrate as well, Mark, that you were shown to be on the ball. And I think also for our next team, we can prove that you were pretty on the ball as well.
I don't know if they're as strong as they were last season.
I think I know that they're not as strong as they were last season. I've got a really, really nervous vibe about this season. In many ways, I'm not looking forward to this season. It could be a very long, drawn-out affair if things do not sort of change. Sam Roscoe and Jimmy Callagher were our two centre-half stalwarts last season. Jimmy's obviously gone to Crusaders. Sam Roscoe has gone over to England to Aldringham. We look at Linfield last year and we say, oh, they were miles off. 6 points is not miles off, but it was those 6 points felt a lot more. It felt like 16.
I have Linfield as fourth, which is dramatic. I
I
know,
had them fourth as well and
I know.
scribbled it out. Wow.
I just think those big games are gonna jockey them down. And look, I actually think this league will be close. I do. Yeah, so like you were right again, but it wasn't a complete disappointment. They did run them close. You did have that big lead, and then the big massive train that was Lauren kept on rocking and rolling. That concerns about defence still somewhat lingered, but there's a big old fancy stick and plaster, probably Pastor Parris, that kind of came on there. His name is Ewan East. It's a shame you lost him really towards the end of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was probably one of our best performances all season. He'll feel like a new signing when he comes back. But yeah, you're totally right. Total stick and plaster. He sort of saved us on a number of occasions. I think if him and Ben Hall had got a run in the team together, we might be talking about something slightly different this year. We might be talking about a treble, a double, whatever you want to call it. But unfortunately, I was right again. We were just not good enough to beat this Lauren team. I'm struggling to see who's gonna be able to beat this Lauren team even in the next coming sort of couple of years. It does look like it's, maybe a one-man band here at the minute, quite honestly. But even to touch on Europe, I think Linfield had the best chance for any team to get into Europe. It's been too predictable at times. I think for Linfield, there's been no real excitement. There's been no bright spark in the team at many times. And I think second has actually done us, we've nearly got away lucky that Cliftonville had their eyes on an Irish Cup about 6 weeks before the final.
I think they improved, Dave, compared to the season before.
I mean, Mark, you alluded to it, but both of you sort of said it, that Linfield laboured a lot of wins this year, and that's probably why they looked quite tired in the cup final, and they looked quite tired at post-split. Comparing that to how Larne sort of had games killed off after 50, 60, 70 minutes and were able to rest players, Linfield were going right to the final whistle and into stoppage time to win a lot of their games. And when you have the likes of Chris Shields, Jamie McGrew, who are that bit older, and with some of the injuries that they've had, I think that really kind of takes its toll. I don't think Linfield were that good this season. What that says for the rest of the league, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even I'm sure one of your sort of more memorable moments of this season that wasn't really great for yourselves was that last minute goal down at Moranbew Park. That summed up our season. We were running, I say smaller teams, smaller by stature and all this. We were running smaller teams far too close to the wire and giving them far too much respect. You look at goals we conceded this year, and that just piles the pressure on. And you're so right. We were working far too hard to win games that in previous years, Linfield would have been 4-0 up, and if they'd have conceded, sure, it was only a consolation for the other team. But because we were only scoring one goal, two goals, it was becoming really, really tight. You look at the 4-3 win at home to Dungannon. That's a game that Linfield would never have to come back from previously. Linfield would have been 4-0 up, and there would have been no 3 for Dungannon. Dungannon were 3-1 up in that game. There's times this year we just totally looked on to just opposite of what Linfield is used to being. We're used to, I'm certainly used to recently, scoring those 4 or 5 goals and getting away from smaller teams. The only team we really did that against was Newry, who everybody was doing it against, so it didn't really count.
I think the retooling of Linfield is going to be one of the more interesting storylines that everybody's going to have an opinion on, and I it really flashed to me trying to pick the cup final team, of where the strengths lie for Linfield. I think you've got a lot of great players in there, but it doesn't feel as though to try and fix it in with the other players that they're, you know, you alluded to it there about the wing backs, like Cooper and Miller, we all know they start, but were, and I believe that perhaps sometimes you're having to play them in different positions so you could fit in a quality first team player that could only play in a certain position, and perhaps having someone like McGee, like do you really center McGee into position, whatever it may be, center midfield, wing back, one of the three. We just saw like Shields had to move all over the place, and it's not because that was going to be the best place for him. It felt as though he had to go back in defense because you didn't have a defender and you had to play somebody else in midfield and vice versa. And I think for Linfield to be in the same position that Lauren is, you got to go, Cooper starts here, this player starts there, and we need to fill around them. It's trying to put together a shape that works for them rather than making the players work to put together a team. Cooper was electric at the start of the season. He was amazing, and I think his injury never really shone as bright as he did during the months of September and October, and that was a big loss from a creative point of view. I think Linfield got away with it during the mid part of the season with that run with the likes of Annette and Archer actually coming good, scoring goals, winning games. But I don't think, especially at the age that they are, you can rely on them to go on a 15-game stretch to consistently deliver without little bits and pieces. Mulgrew had an excellent season. Shields had an excellent season. And now you look at that team and think, there's decisions to be made about midfield, defence, and probably attack. And you've got in your, you know, and that's the spine, isn't it? You know, we Matthew Clark's away, Jordan Stewart's away. So they need depth, but they also need stone cold killers as well, like top end players. Like McBrien backed it at this time, at the start of the season. But in the end, what was his role? And I think what most Linfield fans are probably crying out for is, can we go back to 4-3-3 and see how that works out? But if you're going to do that, I think you need to now build that team as if it's going to be, rather, or if it's going to be three at the back, build that team and work around it. Fitzpatrick has received a lot of flack, I think, just based on the cup final. I think that's harsh, because he's having to play his own game with everybody else. And I think people are expecting him to assist himself. Sometimes he's to find the space, pass himself the ball, you know, link up with everybody and do it all while singing a show tune, you know. Like, he's a player that has skills and abilities, and you have to complement that. So Linfield now, I think I would always be a huge David Healy defender recently, because I feel as though he's getting a lot out of what's at his disposal. You know, he's making a wonderful cheesecake from leftovers sometimes, and some, you know, great ingredients, let's be fair. But now I do think it's about recruitment and where they go, because Ewan East, there's probably been another player that hasn't worked out, from the random players coming from England to Scotland. And I think recently the players that they've got from elsewhere in the league, the McGees and the Fitzpatricks and the McBrians, they've probably been just a wee touch under-seasoned, where they're not able to take that step up right away. And I don't know if there's lots in this new league, lots of players you could pluck, a bit like a Miller and Lauren, that you can pluck out from the bottom six or even just above, who would make an instant change. And in fact, it's probably harder for Linfield to go to someone like Corian maybe and go, we'll have your best striker, please, thank you very much. Mainly because he used to play for them. But, you know, so big changes at Linfield on the way. We'll see if that it means changes in their league position next year. I've been waiting for this since November. Let's just play it out. Cliftonville, they finished third.
They've lost Levi Ives. They've lost Colin Coates. They've lost Moore as well, of course, to West Ham. So there's three of probably their strongest players last year have now gone. Doesn't look good for a title challenge. They're aiming for top six in a cup run, in my opinion.
Okay, there are injury concerns. The squad is thin. But to me, I feel like Magilton's a good appointment. You know, he certainly has contacts.
This could be a very tricky season for Cliftonville, and I wonder, will the fans have patience, and could that impact the dressing room quite negatively? Because big games come thick and fast. it's the one team that I'd worry on a big run, and I'm going to have to stick my neck out here because I do believe this. I've done my table. I have Cliftonville 7th. Yeah, disaster moment for me right there. Got to give credit to Connor Houston. He's not here to do his victory lap saying he backed the jump from the start. But I want to say the theory was correct. They had a poor defensive record to end the season before. We didn't see much additions. In fact, we saw Coates going out. We weren't quite sure what the forward line was going to be like. They bring in Wilson, they bring in Sean Stewart. And they just overall were a better side. They did have a title run. And I think this will go down in Cliftonville fans' folklore. I feel I'll be reminded of this for years to come, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what you were thinking there. For me, I always think Cliftonville are always a shoe-in for at least fifth. Simply because they always seem to have some sort of decent run throughout the season. Added to, as I say, the fact Jim McGilton, his experience as a player, international player, top end of the championship in England and in the Premiership as well, plus his international career, say, I think they were always destined for a good run in the league. They did overachieve in my book, but for me, I would have said that they probably finished maybe fourth, fifth would have been my kind of prediction. In spells, absolutely electric, and like Lauren, blew a lot of teams away.
Casey and Addis are probably under-recognised stars of this season, Mark. We were worried about them at the back, and alongside Turner for half the season, they were the bedrock of this side's success oftentimes.
Yeah, as the Cliftonville fans often like to remind everybody, that they do love Johnny Addis, and it's quite obvious why they love Johnny Addis. He's been an absolute rock at the back for them. A player who probably came in not to really much fanfare. You know, he was sort of a seasoned pro. It's like buying a car with lots of miles on it. You know what you're going to get. It's done its mileage. It's sort of, you know, maybe this is just the last sort of run out for it. But listen, Johnny Addis is like a fine-tuned engine. An unbelievable defender for them this season. I think Turner, as you said, for half a season was really, really good as well for them. On the other end of the pitch, I just don't know if are they going to be able to hold on to Ben Wilson. That's a massive one. For me, I can see a club from League One, League Two coming in and thinking, yeah, let's take a punt on this guy here. Wage-wise, you're probably looking at maybe the mid-range of their budget as opposed to maybe the top end of Cliftonville's budget when you're looking at things. So we'll have to see whether they can hold on to him for next year. But I was right about the cup run. We'll note that. Unfortunately, I was right about the cup run.
I think that will go down as a really nice bounce back season for Cliftonville because they had ran really close 2 years beforehand. A lot of that team looked to have been petering out, but they recruited really well. I think also you've seen that Little and McGilton coached that team to a higher standard and got a lot more out of that side as well. So credit where credit's due, they now go into the next year and I've only got a stronger foundation to build on. Let's go to Cruz in fourth. I love these signings. It just the potential for me is amazing. Jimmy Kelleher, stick him in the back, all of a sudden makes your defence even better.
Baxter has made the right signings very, very early on in the window, mind. Yep. It seems like he signed them before the Irish Cup final.
But Laurie doesn't look like he's slowing down at all.
No way.
Neither's BJ Burns. They've got a solid midfield. They still have that spark in Heatley. And you fire that all together, guys, I think they're going to be champions at the end of the season.
Unbelievable.
I think they're going to be consistent and they're going to do exactly what Lauren did last season. Win when they need to and not lose often. Jimmy Kelleher was great. He really was, but I think his injury derailed their season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He definitely does make any team infinitely more secure at the back, but it was just unfortunate. And you could see that they were sort of going, what do we do here now? Because we kind of banked on him as our rock at the back to play other people around him and play out from there. And it took them a while to get back on track after his injury. Bad one that it was. Again, I think you were a bit brave predicting they would be champions, but personally, I probably would have said that they finished about where I would have expected, even with the signings they made. I always think Ross Clark's an absolutely amazing player and doesn't get enough credit for his ability to deliver a ball into the box. I personally think that Kirk Miller is one of the best wingers I've ever seen in the Irish League. Ross Clark is definitely up there with that. And without him, they missed him when he wasn't playing. And when he is playing, he is so much more, it brings so much more to the team.
I don't think in the end all the signings that people were getting quite excited about added enough for the team to take them to the next level and probably didn't contribute in the way that some people thought they would. James Thielen eventually got loaned out in January. We saw Callagher's injury. We didn't Forsyth had his moments in the side, but injury took him out of it. Mal Smith didn't really come in. So when you have those players you brought in, don't make the same impact. You had the same team last year, and I think they also struggled with significant injuries, especially at the back, some sort of weird formation. Forsyth pretty much just became a right back or a left back for most of the season. So similar Linfield, we're talking about trying to fit other players in. That was kind of what the Crews were doing. So they'll want next season to have a lot more luck with injuries and try and work this out now. Heatley's a big loss, but they're going to replace a small, nippy, skillful player who can play out wide with a small, nippy, skillful player in Glatt White and Jordan Stewart. So even if Heatley does decide to do a U-turn, you can see like for like there. Look, big questions now. Can they recruit better this summer with the European money that they've got? A few of those, you know, they're a very experienced team from Burns, Weir, Forsyth, Owens, Laurie, Winchester. You know, they're going to be another year on the tyres there. So a lot of questions for Cadell, a rookie manager, and it looks to be maybe another season of change for the Crews, but they still are able to do well. And perhaps their big weakness was just not winning out in the big games. I can't remember too many huge victories against top six opposition.
I think you were, well, we all know you were wrong on your prediction for first. I'm not trying to rub salt in the open wound there. I think at times they sort of, they rode their luck a couple of times this year, the Crews. A couple of strange results across the season. I was just totally baffled at times how it was still working out, Heatley and Owens. You know, you were looking at a game, like, is this a game from 2014? No, it's 2024. It's Heatley and Owens. I'm still working. Like, Baxter has his reasonings for everything, and it's still working. So I don't know why. I don't know, but I suppose, why did I doubt him? Why did I doubt that he could finish first with that team? It's going to be a tough one for Cadell. I don't know. Look at what happened at Windsor Park when Mr. Jeffries left, and we had an ex-international player on board to attempt to manage the biggest club in the country. Look how well that went. It's big shoes to fill, but I think he's got total one of the best sort of people to be replacing sort of thing behind him.
We shimmy down to fifth, and there's another season and another year of drama in East Belfast.
I'd be interested to see how Warren Feeney does. I was surprised that he was appointed. I didn't really even see that coming. I don't know.
I think with the amount of players and the bodies that they have, I think they can eliminate a lot more sticks. And we saw them get over that hump. It's not that long ago. We saw it after January. So, second, nothing went right at all. And the assessment is, after this year, pretty much the team that we saw this season needs to go. And if Glentoran was a house, it's getting gutted.
Aye, the house is because the window smashed in and there's no front door. But the sort of structure is somehow still standing. I'm not talking about the Oval, I'm talking about the team. We all knew what Warren Feeney was going to be as we were looking at, you know, as a neutral. I'm obviously not a very neutral when it comes to Glentoran. We all knew what he brought, which was chaos. So I don't think you can be surprised. Warren's biggest benefit to the Glens was the 4-0 against Linfield. That was his big moment. That was his peak. And it did the league a favour because it kept Warren in a job for a wee bit longer. But listen, I think Devine's also a pretty, it's a strange one as well. It's totally meh is sort of what I was sort of thinking of when he was totally, you know, sorry, fully appointed. Listen, he's going to have a lot to do. I think we've seen today that the list that the Glens put out of the eight players that were leaving. Saw a tweet go out that there's over 1,000 appearances leaving the club this summer. So it's a massive, massive clear out and a massive, massive rebuild.
Had this team just run its course, Dave, or did perhaps McMenamin just paper over some of the real cracks of what this side was, because you can point individually to good to great players in this side, but it never really worked as one cohesive unit.
Yes, you can pick great players from, you know, top players from other teams in the league, but unless, like you were saying, you have a system and have, we're playing this player here and this player here and everybody else has got to fit in around that, or we sign players to fit in around that, Glentoran just seemed to have done what Chelsea did when they got all the money 20 odd years ago and went, oh, let's sign all the best players in the league, and then wonder why they can't all play in the same team. That's to me what it's been like for Glentoran over the last wee while.
This year, I think, saw the end of the first era of the Ali Pur experiment. You're seeing so many of those players who we thought as the big changing of the guard of this new time, the McCulloughs, the Klukases and stuff like that, or McCartan, you know, that big £100,000 signing who is now walking out the door for zilch in return. I think it's
clear, not much in between.
It's clear this team is cutting its losses. It is just taking the hit, and maybe this is wrong to suggest that they will all likely, maybe they'll take a step forward with perhaps not as much of a glamorous team. Maybe they have totally nailed down exactly who they're going to bring in that's going to improve this team. But Devine's coming into this summer behind the eight ball. He hasn't got a huge amount of runway. I think strategy-wise, will they turn to youth that's not been proven before, that is going to exactly get off to the quickest start? So you might see probably Glentoran have a quote-unquote better season next year, but have a very similar season when it comes to results and points and all the rest. This is you would imagine they've got to give Devine a season here to prove what he can do, because a bit like Irvine with Balamini, can he bring in so many players and trying to see how it all works? If it was easy, anybody could do it. So I think Glentoran fans have got the patience, and we now enter whatever type of new era this is for Glentoran this summer and beyond. Right, still haven't got one team nailed on of predictions to placings. We now go to Corey.
I just think this team knows itself a bit more. I do think they'll be able to be competitive in some big games, but I have found them in previous years, once they get knocked back, they kind of like accept, okay, we're not really going to get a win against Glentoran away. If I was a Corian fan, I would want them to get a big win early and for them to just race out of the traps, a bit like against Cliftonville last season. That was amazing. I don't think they will be title challengers, but if they get a good start, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to say fifth.
I thought it was quite a forgettable season overall for Corian. If you're a Corian fan, you probably want to forget large swathes of that season. Christmas was a disaster, but I think if he didn't have the track record and the kudos that Owen Kearney had up at that club, I don't think many other managers would have been able to survive that bad run. But he turned things around in January and beyond. They weren't exactly pulling up trees, but you can see that perhaps they're moving in the right direction going in to next season. But this season, I think it was just, they didn't have the right players in the spine of that team. Centre back, centre midfield. You had all the flair out wide, but in there, that was their weak point. That was their soft underbelly. Teams knew it and they exploited it. Teams up and down the league exploited that weak underbelly.
Yeah, you're totally right. Listen, I think sixth actually sort of sums up Corian's season quite perfectly. They weren't bad enough to be in relegation scrap. They weren't good enough to be in a title scrap. So I think they've sort of got what they've deserved. At times, they were one of the most entertaining and exciting teams in the league. You know, you look at how well they played in the playoff games. Both playoff games, they were absolutely excellent in my book. Quite a fortunate goal, maybe at the Oval, to sort of split the two. It's going to be who they can sign. You're totally right, Peter, in that midfield area and in the centre half area. I just think they need something special in each of those positions, you know, one really, really good centre half and one really, really good centre midfielder to set them apart from that sixth place and sort of, you know, break free of that sort of, you know, glass ceiling that they've put above themselves in sixth place.
I've spoken to a few friends who are connected with Coleraine, and they feel that maybe the thought of this investment and the potential for some full-time players next season kind of made them sort of take their eye off the ball a wee bit, and that's why the kind of the blip around Christmas happened, because they were starting to think, they weren't really sure, do we sign short term for the rest of this season, or do we try to sign a few players on the premise of, well, finish off this season and then get a full-time deal going into next year, or how do we do this? And that kind of maybe muddied the waters a little bit around Christmas with where some players going to go, where some players going to stay beyond the season, and what happened. And in the end, once they finally went, okay, but that's over and done with, let's finish the season, as you say, the momentum kind of came back. It will be interesting to see how they invest this money coming in, because, I mean, as I said earlier, it's not really a groundbreaking investment. You know, £2 million sounds a lot, but when you break it down over 4 years, it's £400,000. In the Irish League, that's okay, but when you factor in that you're one who wants to play players full-time, that's going to be £600-700 a week minimum. That only really leaves, plus you've got to pay all the full-time staff around the club. So this season, I think they finished about where you would expect Coleraine to finish this season. I think next season, if they don't kick on and sort of push the likes of the Cliftonville Crusaders for fourth and fifth, then that investment will start to be questioned a wee bit.
They need to see more of a ruthless streak from them. I think that comes from maybe adding a bit more leadership into this side. But in turn, you've got your strikers there, Shevlin and McGonagall, and they've already started to work together really nicely. And you still have all the players people like, the likes of Glacken and Lyndon Kane, and they've brought in Brown clearly as a bit of a keystone to build around for this new era of the team. So they've got bits and pieces. They leaked, let's just say, around everything else. They leaked goals and all the rest of it, and perhaps didn't have the same penetration that they had in previous years. You can see that they're not too far away from moving up a space or two if they can pull it all together. But it's different. Since January, they were kind of playing with house money from a form and from a team point of view. That's different next year. They need to eradicate those type of results against Dungannon and Loughgod. I'm sure every side, there's plenty of games they would want to have back. But they need to do that, because they almost did slip out of the top six this year and just got away with it. I don't think they'll have the same problem next year. But I think if we're sitting here come next summer and they finish sixth again, they can't stand still. They have to push forward. So they've learnt their lessons. Let's see if they put that into action. We'll dip down into seventh, and a team I actually predicted to finish sixth. They almost did it, but they didn't. Perkis is going to bully some defenders up and down the league. I am all aboard the Carrick hype train. I'm just going to say it. You know what I'm going to say it. I think they're finishing sixth. I think they're finishing above Cliftonville. I think this team is not a fully complete team, but they've got match winners throughout the spine of that team. And I'm not going to doubt what Stuart King can do. It's true. They Danny Gibson led that team really, really well. I think perhaps they need to still have a look at what's going on at the back, sort out that home form. But oftentimes mid-table, if you just have enough good players that can win you the odd game when it's probably more even affair, which I think Carrick Rangers do have, you have a shot of sneaking in a sixth. And they almost did it. And look, they got their highest points total, highest amount of wins, I believe, highest positioning. So you cannot look at this from a Carrick Rangers point of view and not see this as a success. But there was definitely money still left on the table when it comes to their season, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, if you were comparing it to the Premier League, you'd sort of be looking at this Carrick team like Bournemouth, you know, both from the coast and both sort of had their best season ever in the top flight. And were both led by a sort of striker that everybody else had read off at a certain time. I think both should be very, very happy with the season. You know, a win at Windsor Park, who predicted that? Not me, not anybody, I would suggest. You know, Cardiff were better than Linfield on a couple of occasions this year, and quite unlucky, just winning one of them. Certainly the games were just pre-split. I think Stuart King's done pretty well with what he's got there. Albert Watson at the back was pretty solid, considering, you know, what is he in the latter stages of his career, probably. You don't really want to say that about players, but he's probably in the twilight years, but he's still really, really performing quite well. You're looking potentially next year, Sean Clucas coming in is a massive one for them. They've done well. Can this new investment money push on and change things? It's certainly looking like something entertaining is going to be happening at Carrick next year, and there's certainly going to be a team to watch.
People say that David Jeffrey was and Alex Ferguson were worth 10, 12 points a season to their teams. I have no doubt that Stuart King has been worth a similar amount to this Carrick team this season, just from getting the likes of, you know, Danny Gibson. Getting him playing and loving his football again is a big job, and Stuart King deserves a lot of credit. The guys behind the scenes at Carrick really deserve a lot of credit for that.
I really enjoyed watching Danny Gibson play this year. I just saw a player with confidence. He had such steel, determination. He has a bit of speed to him as well. And one of the better strikers, one of the best strikers for me, performance-wise, this season. And the question now for Carrick, because you have to look back at this and think, what a great season. Got to give it an A grade. Is there now expectation on them next year? I think that probably comes from above. They want that expectation. They're not here to pat themselves on the back. But when you're stepping up like this, there will be people coming for you in the same way, and they'll treat Carrick differently now, and they now have a base level. I think in previous weeks we've talked about this podcast about how the fact now that Carrick are signed, sealed, delivered standard Premiership teams is one of the great achievements that they've had in recent years. They'll now want, the ambition of that club will want to push on. Can they do that? It's like everything. It's about recruitment, it's about development, and it's about probably a bit of luck around the way. But we saw some great performance from them this year, and they will enjoy what they did this year, and next year they've got to do it all over again. Right, it was the return of Rodney McAree, and I think he did a great job with Dungannon this year. I don't think they're going to set the league on fire, but it's clear what Dungannon's aim is. Need to survive.
Maybe if they get a few more signings to actually be at the top half of the bottom six.
Yeah, I just think they might lack goals and they may concede a bit more than they should. I can see them falling down while they try and build themselves up, but broadly, I think they'll be a lot more resolute than they were. Dungannon, they conceded so many goals in previous years. They hung on for a couple of seasons there to the top flight status. That wasn't a concern this year. They were somewhat the bottom half entertainers.
Very much so. They were very good on the ball, very good in the build-up. And then, unlike previous seasons, actually found ways to put the ball on the net a little bit more. And that, obviously, is testament to the quality that Rodney McAree does bring as a manager. Again, written off because he wasn't maybe as what Clintorin wanted when he was there. But actually, he's a Dungannon man. He knows the club. They know him. He just seems to be able to get the guys playing. And it really was an entertaining season. You're probably going to invest season going, maybe, you know, hopefully we'll get 10th and not have to worry about a playoff. But actually, in the end, they won quite a lot of matches towards the end of the season and were relatively comfortable. And actually, without Carrick's late surge as well in form, people were talking about Dungannon actually pushing for that seventh place. It was a bit more, that push for seventh was actually a lot more exciting than it has been in previous seasons.
Up and down the league, Mark, I don't think there was any side that relished Dungannon coming to town or having to go to Stangmore Park. They put it up to everybody this past season.
Dungannon Swifts being 3-1 up at Windsor Park at half time is never something that anybody had ever imagined at any stage of recent history. I have to say, Dungannon gave us some of our very best games this season. I think they look well organised. I think they look well drilled. And for a club with virtually, you know, no budget compared to some of the higher up teams, they've really, really excelled at sort of putting this really, really tight knit squad together. There's not a massive depth in that squad. They're all gunning for each other. I think one thing about Rodney McAree, he looks at home at Dungannon. As you already said, Dave, you know, he's from Dungannon. He knows the club inside out. I think he gets to be himself in this role. Glenn Torren, he was sort of being forced into this box that you have to be this, that, and the other. Whereas he just gets to be Rodney McAree. They weren't far off that seventh spot. A couple of wins here and there, and a couple of scores going the either way. You know, you'd have seen Dungannon Swifts in the playoffs for European football. Who would have thought that at the start of the season? Absolutely not me. But for Houston, he's really, really deserved that position in the league this year.
A couple of new young sparks coming through there as well. Again, this season, that will give them confidence going into next year. And of course, good news for Linfield. Because as we all know, a good Swift side ultimately means they can develop and go into the Blues team. When there's fans shouting at David Hilly's going, play some of the boys from the Swifts. They don't mean Linfield Swifts boys. And McGee and McBrien, maybe they're just the start of a new generation of the Dungannon players going to Linfield. No, got to look back, say, Dungannon, big, big improvement from them all round. And yes, finally we get to some sort of salvation for me. Ninth, Loughall. I think they come in, they get one or two good results. And if last season's anything to go by, you need a decent amount of points. But you don't need to be winning week in and week out. And yes, I don't expect them to be getting results against Crusaders and Glentoran all the time. I'm a big believer in Loughall, and I do believe they're not going to finish 12th. I just do not think they're going to be the absolute whipping boys that some people think they are. Everybody in August said, it's Loughall 12th, and then you can just talk about whatever else is going to happen. I got the spot on, boys. And in fact, I probably didn't even believe in them enough. They came into this league, and from the outset, they announced their arrival with what was a 3-0 win away to Newry, and they just enjoyed this season like it was a trip around Disneyland. They were a great addition to the league, were a tormentors of plenty of teams, a great watch all year, and what a team they have. Can they keep it all together for next year? But if you're going to give a grade to these sides and their season, Loughall, A+.
Very much so. Very much so, yeah. I think, but personally, I know a couple of the guys behind the scenes at Loughall, so for me, it wasn't too much of a surprise to see them do well in the league. They definitely play a good brand of football. I think for me, it was, could they be physical enough to compete at this level? Kieran Loughran, aside from his a few moments of madness at the back, definitely really helped bring that steel. Like we talked about several teams having soft underbellies. That's not what you could accuse Loughall of this season. I think Nathaniel Ferris up front brought a lot to the team as well. Everybody knows what he's about. He's difficult to play against. Robbie Norton in midfield, I think for him, he probably had a bit of a point to prove at this level, having been let go by Gary Hamilton at Cavan. And I know from talking to him, he felt like that as well. And I think he probably had the best season of his career in the Irish League.
100% underrated player, a little terrier in that midfield who can string passes together very well. I think it was an entire team with something to prove.
Yeah.
Including their manager.
And ironically, a lot of them at one point or another in their career were at Glenavon and didn't work out. So we were actually laughing a couple of weeks ago when we went to play them. Like, oh, is this, you know, Glenavon rejects turning us over here?
And they didn't play with fear.
No.
They played an entertaining style of football. Benji McGee, what a revelation he was. Got the plaudits, got the goals, got the end of year awards. And from back to front, were a fantastic watch. They just played with a freedom that is very, very rare. We'll now have to deal with everybody in a couple of months talking about, oh, second season syndrome. How many of those players could maybe be picked off because they've proven that they have got premiership quality from 1 to 11. But they're a close-knit team, and they have recruited really well previously, and I think it was a great season. We slip down now to 10th, and a season of change in Lurk. While Glenavon fans have got used to this idea that it's, can we nick 6th, but the main aim is to get 7th, that feels like it's getting more and more difficult as every season goes on.
Carrick caused them a lot of trouble last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you imagine us saying that 5 years ago. So I would worry a wee bit.
Do you see the same kind of fall, Mark? And if so, how far down?
I actually see a jump up.
Wow.
Good, I'm glad.
Obviously, you're never going to replace Fitzpatrick in one window. But as you said, they've had to shop around.
I am going to, very broadly, I'm going to put them as eighth. That's why I'm going to put them. Eighth, just miss out. I predicted a decline, but I didn't back that decline enough. Never truly looked like troubling sixth, even though you had the chance. You were in the ballpark with a couple of games to go. But look, this was a season of change. You change your manager. That was very significant. Clearly, the summer additions didn't give as much as you wanted. There was a whole string of players coming in January. A lot of them have now left. So now it's in the hands of your new manager. He has the chance to really make his mark on this side. When you look back at this season, Dave, was it just one that once you swap manager, it was a case of just survival and see what you have come the end of the year?
A little bit, yeah. I think at the start of the season, we were a bit fearful that, yes, while we won, you know, we went undefeated for 10 games at the end of the season, going into the playoff, which we were then destroyed by Conor McManaman. Not Glenn Torren, Conor McManaman, as we alluded to earlier, that there was going to be a little bit of a bad hangover going into this season, and unfortunately it proved to be the case. With Stevie coming in, it was a big step change in philosophy, in how he wanted the players to play, in his input into training. Very different, you know, it'll be more so, I think, difficult or different, certainly than Goodell will have gone in after Baxter at Crusaders. And it felt for us around the club, we just need to stay in this league. Not many people were saying that at the time, and there were certainly a few fans who didn't want to admit it, but we were all sort of going at that stage going, if this keeps going, we could be gone by Christmas. As poor as Newry were, we were in a similar position.
And in the end, Glenavon turned things around to a certain extent, and it felt as though it was a lot more of your more mature players, your experienced veterans that came to the fore, despite Glenavon being known as this factory of great young players. You know, you were missing Isaac Bird for a queer bit. You came in with really just Aaron Prendergast as your only real hope up top. That limited a lot of your goal opportunities. And there was a slight change in January. Would you be worried, Mark, from an outsider's point of view, that we could really see Glenavon be a team that's fighting to get away from the bottom of the league rather than one that's maybe looking up to climb through a glass ceiling?
Yeah, I've talked to a few Glenavon fans about this, actually, sort of regarding what's going on and what they think the story is. You know, there's a lot of different opinions, even around the people that Stephen had signed. You know, some people were saying, oh, this certain player's absolutely brilliant. People were saying this certain player's not very good at all. But then the list of, you know, that list of players that has retired or, you know, stepping away from the club is a very long list as well. It's who he replaces them with. Now, I know he has more contacts in the League of Ireland than Specsavers have contacts in Ireland, but I don't know who he's going to pull and where he's going to pull them from, but he has to pull something slightly spectacular out of the woodwork here to try and pull them away from really getting involved in the scrap. Their old friends, Portadown, as we know, are coming back to this league, and they will not be as easy an opponent as Newry were for a lot of teams this year. You're then looking, is it between them and Ballymena United for who might be fighting relegation or even that dreaded playoff? I think the playoff's nearly worse than relegation because you've got the extra fear factor of we're still not away yet. I don't know what the solution is. It just did not go well from the off for Gary Hamilton, did it? It just all went very, very sour, very, very quick. I honestly, I do not know what the solution is at Glenavon, and I would dread to be the man having to do it.
Well, Dave, there's changes halfway through the season there of the personnel looking after the team. There's going to be further changes off the pitch with this brand new board which has been put in Reece Marshall's being brought in now. He's made a great return. And if he can stay healthy, that's the type of player that you want, that you hope. If he's playing in there week in, week out with the likes of Campbell, Malone, Quinn, this is a solid Premiership team, and you're moving towards add a few more extra players, a bit more depth up top. You're cooking. You're back to not really worrying about this bottom of the table. It's kind of suck it and see at the minute now, coming into this summer now for Glenavon.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Glenavon have always been a decent 1-11, maybe a couple of subs, but as far as squad depth is concerned, I think we've always been a player or two away from where we would want to be to achieve our league cup ambitions. And as you say, there's a lot of change coming. I alluded to earlier about the general sort of feeling in the league about there being a change of the guard. There's certainly a new era at Glenavon, with new sponsors coming in, new board members coming in. There'll be a new chairman. There'll be a lot of new things around the club. And it's very much a transitional period. You'd like to be doing it from a slightly higher position within the league. But at the same time, I think, like you're saying there, there is potential to kick on from that. We do have a good base of players. Reece coming back is brilliant. The problem is he doesn't score 20 goals a season. And that's the thing. There's lots of rumours about us potentially getting some of the guys that can't go full time at other clubs and that sort of thing, and that's great. Like we've let 6 or 7 players go there, and there's only 2 or 3 others that we've only kept because they're on longer contracts, or we think, well, maybe they might be able to, you know, play a couple of positions and whatever. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I was saying to you earlier before we started, the one thing people talk about Portadown coming up, for us, yes, it's good for Boxing Day and it's great for a couple of quid to have the middle strawberry back, but it also dilutes the potential for us to sign players because we're going to be fishing in the same pond.
Well, a team who is very much delighted to see the end of the season. I feel echoes of Portadown last season, where I don't know if we have a shape, I don't know if we have a cohesive style of play, and week to week, game to game, are they going to come out on top against other teams?
I wouldn't be getting excited if I was a Ballymena fan.
It's going to be, regardless, I think it's a tough season. It's going to
be tight.
This didn't look like it was going to be a great season going into it. It ended up not being that. It was painful, painful season for most of the year. They weren't scoring goals. They couldn't keep them out at the back. I think you've got to look back at this if you're a Ballymena fan and think, this was the training wheels year. We've got to get it right in the transfer window. If they can, of course, because we don't know how much of the tightening of the belt still needs to be in place when it comes to their financials. So, undoubtedly a big club, but that is their worst season for decades. And they're not feeling particularly great.
I mean, it can get worse. They can finish 12th. That would be much worse for them. I don't think they're too far off that. It's going to be a very, very tight one for down at the bottom for the upcoming season. As I said already, you know, they were jammy enough to head up, and I think they sort of got the rub of the green. It just really depends on, you know, you, as you said there, Peter, it's the tightening of this belt and how tight this belt's actually going to go, because if this belt goes any tighter, it's going to break. I don't know how they're going to, you know, shrink the budget and stay in the Premiership. It's going to be very, very difficult for them. They're going to have to rely on youth players coming through. Who that's going to be, we're not too sure. But it looks like a very, very difficult job, and I do not envy Jim Irvin for trying to get them well out of the way of that playoff position, because we could be sitting here next year talking about a very, very similar or even worse thing for Ballymena United.
They need bodies. They'll not have Fraser Taylor next year, so where are you going to have that creative spark? It's all over the pitch, and that's not even thinking about maybe some players like McCulloch and others. Are they still going to be around? You need to start building a team rather than a docket going into next year. How you do that when I think it's more competitive than ever, and if you were to start the season right now, for next year, I think they're favourites to go down before they change it up. I think you'd probably say a number, even though Institute didn't beat them. I think you'd probably say Institute would have given them a go this year across the season. Bangor would have given them a go. That race will go tight. So we all know recruitment is going to be the problem, and it's because it's just so competitive. Like, Ballymena have that reputation as being a year in and year out nailed on premiership team, but there's something that echoes that Portadown side going down the year before last, that kind of long decline. They get away with it in the playoff, and if they don't get it right early next season, they could all feel like it's repeating itself all over again. I feel I'm being very negative, Dave.
I'm not sure there's, unfortunately, too many positives. I think most Ballymena fans would agree. Anytime we've played them, there's certainly been a lot of long faces. As I said previously, people used to fear going to the showgrounds on a cold Tuesday night, or a foggy Saturday, as we did earlier in the season. Now, I don't really see... The game with Institute there last week, it didn't seem like Institute had any fear to go in there. Yes, obviously, they had all to win and Ballymena had all to lose, but at the same time, the teams were very evenly matched. I don't think there was too much between Ballymena and Institute, like you said. That's a very fearful thing, because I don't think Institute were that good. I think Ballymena were just that poor.
And finally, Newry City. I just think 1-11, they've got a better squad than last season, and the next step up from them is towards a ninth place, and I think they should do that.
I totally agree with everything you said, 100%. I'm not joking, by the way. I think last season they struggled in spells. That big middle spell really did look tight for them, but I think those signings, I have noted down, especially as you have pointed out, Barney McCune, Adam Sally, and I think Carroll as well, is a phenomenal signing. I think last season they were maybe lucky in a few spells that there were two teams worse than them, but I think there are two, maybe three teams worse than them this season. I think they might be in that luxurious position, if you can call it luxurious, of being ninth place and not having to worry about, flip, we might drop down here.
So we kind of backed them a wee bit. We thought some of these signings was going to improve them. They had a good end of the season before last. Ninth was a massive reach in regards to predictions. And from goals conceded to points total, this was a historically bad run in the league. I think they just lost their heads early on. Bad luck with injuries, way too many red cards, and it was just too little too late when Barry Gray came in. I don't know what it's going to be like for them in the championship, because they've just got to get all their momentum up again, get this project going. They've been here, they've done it before, so they can yo-yo back up again. But they were probably lucky that there was a team as poor as Ballymena to face off via battle for a majority of the season. But when in previous years his team's going down scratching 30 points, I don't think there's anybody from a Newry perspective saying they were hard done by in relegation. And that's just the difficulties, the harshness of football. You don't perform across the season and there's other teams that are going to fight for your place. And they will go back to the drawing board and try to rebuild. But this, as we talked to you with Loch Gall, they lose 3-0 at home, and I don't think there's any time they had anything that resembled even a run or spell of good form.
Yeah, I would agree on that one completely. They did, the previous season that they were doing, I suppose, a little bit similar to what Loch Gall did. They were playing really good football and surprising a few teams. I just don't think they really brought much to the table in terms of that sort of... They didn't make teams question them too much. A lot of teams just went, well, we'll just turn up and play our game and it'll be enough. We don't have to really worry about what tactics they have, because we'll overpower them and outplay them. And when that's how teams are approaching the game, you know, you're out of your depth, as you say.
Yeah, I think the big thing in the league this year was that the best team won the league and the worst team were relegated. There's no doubt in between, you know, things ebbed and flowed. But the best team in the league won the league, being Larne, and the worst team went down in your A City. It just looked like they were so out of their depth. It was unbelievable. At stages, they just totally, you know, collapsed. Certainly in, you know, bigger games, they just sort of gave up at times. For me, that would have been the real gutting thing if I was an Uri fan. You know, there were games that just looked like they were down and out and already relegated sort of thing halfway through the season. I don't think they come back up, personally. It takes something special. You can't just stick with that. You know, it looked like a championship team in the Premiership, if you know what I mean. It's going to take a big change for them even to get in within, you know, top four or five of the championship. They can't stick with what they have and expect it to be a totally different outcome this time next year.
Teelan was a big miss. McGovern, with a whole timeout at the start of the season, never got a long run to really fulfil that role that maybe Teelan was doing the season beforehand. Adam Sally had goals, but that there was a big reliance on him. At the back, they just leaked goals like week in, week out. And they brought in a few experienced players in the window, but it just didn't add to the team. It probably didn't take them to an extra level. It probably just added more bodies, and perhaps the teams around them were just overall. And they go into next year trying to find their mojo again, pick themselves up, because there was such momentum behind this team of local boys that they were, and some of them have now moved on. And can they bring in that next crop of players again? You've got to say they can do it. At one point, not being in the championship should help, I would say. And who's to say they can't compete? But and we saw Portadown turn it around after what was a very poor side that they brought down. So look, their top flight status has been taken away from them, but might take a season or two, but we very easily could see Newry City back up in the top flight. And there was your season 2023-2024. I can't believe it. Second series of the pod kind of wrapped up, except there'll be extras over the next few weeks probably, because there's transfers to stick our teeth into, so much stuff to chat over the next while. But I appreciate, first off, Mark sitting through all those predictions that some you got very, very right, and some were misjudged, and Dave got to sit back and poke fun and pick holes in it all. But I appreciate you guys jumping in and talking through all that. For those who may just be jumping in to see the crack, I may not know where to find your pages and all the rest. Starting with you, Mark, where can people find your thoughts, feelings, dreams, spare notepads, thought showers?
Just Mark McGuigan on Twitter. I've no Instagram, I've been hacked, so that's fun. But anyway, all on Twitter at the moment.
Sorry to hear that, Mark. What about yourself, Dave? In control of all platforms still?
I mean, I mainly find myself on Instagram these days, but on Twitter, I'm at wavy_dot, or you can obviously find me most weekends on Glenavon Twitter, at Glenavon_FC.
And you've got a gig to promote in Belfast.
Yes, indeed. Anybody who's free on the 24th, come on down to the pavilion, please.
Boom. Boom. Boys, appreciate that. Till next time, and there will be a next time. Actually, football's good crack. Cheerio.
Footballers, sure.
3 weeks, but I highly recommend in this new post-season Irish League world to follow or subscribe this podcast on whatever your player may be. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, just go to the Kicking Match page on that platform, hit the button, hit a couple of dots, and hit follow or subscribe. It's free. And the reason why you want to do that is, as the next few weeks, maybe uploads might become erratic, days may change, I'm going to try and keep up to a wee bit of a schedule as we talk about transfers and all other bits of news that I'm sure the Irish League will throw into our laps. But it just means that you'll get a little notification, a little update every time I release an episode. A little day later this week. So it means you don't have to worry about flicking through and resetting. It'll come straight to you. It's easy. It's free. Why not do it? You can also follow this podcast on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. It is Kicking Match on all of those platforms. And yeah, here we are. Season's over. What a season it's been. Amazing. I'm up to like 80 something episodes now across two seasons. This has been so much fun. I don't think I'm going anywhere, but we'll just see how it goes. Thank you so much for listening, chatting, engaging, all the rest. This is a bit of crack. This is me and my spare time having a lovely time chatting alone in my spare bedroom to random people on Zoom and the rest. So it's been a pleasure. So until next time, I will see you soon. Cheers.